I was invited here to share what I know about the natural resources and what places like this mean to Native Americans and to people who are familiar with the history, the rich history of this area. So hopefully you'll have a more of appreciation for this project, what you call or what we call the 520 Project. It means much more to us than that. Now, through the years, through the generations, many things have come to change. Many things and many challenges have crossed our paths. As Native Americans, we've endured quite a bit of change during that assimilation period, during that negative period, and during the tolerant period. So through all of this, we still manage to hold on and cling to those things that help identify us as Atsis Ta'abil, identify us as Native people. During treaty time, 1855, 1856, there was a change. There was this huge shift about location, about what we call home. The first people of this land were asked or had to agree to relocate. And during the mid-1850s, there were options for us. They could go north to Tulalip, Marysville, and go across the water to Suquamish, or they can come south to Muckleshoot. Some of our ancestors in this area decided to come south. Now, that's how I can claim, that's how I express my ties to this area. Even though Muckleshoot is far south from on the south end of Lake Washington, we're now on the north end of Lake Washington, you know, I still consider this home. And we share this home with our other extended family, our brothers and sisters from Snoqualmie, our brothers and sisters from Tulalip, and our brothers and sisters from Suquamish. Teachers that talked about this area, there's only a handful of the foods, the special foods that that still exist and are still utilized today. I know that salmon are a staple in this area. Salmon, everyone knows and are familiar with salmon. But there's one particular salmon, one particular species that is coveted by our elders today. And it's still here. It still comes here. And many of you may know it or have even seen it. In our language, we call it ilash. Ilash. And my grandmother, my father's mother, she called them little redfish. It's the landlock. The landlocked sockeye or the landlocked coho. Either one will turn red. So it doesn't leave the fresh water. And it only grows, you know, maybe a foot long, foot and a half long. They don't grow too big at all. Now this food is a special food and was reserved for our elders because of its quantity, because of its really hard to get. And once you get it, you know, you can't get that much. Otherwise, you're going to diminish the species. So you only take what you need. And so it was considered elder's food, special food. You had to be someone who was deserving of it. Dad says he tells stories of when he would go with his grandpa to come over here to Issaquah Creek, come over to this area here, to gather that fish in the under the cloak of darkness. And they would get an onion bag, a burlap bag, about half full, and then take it back home and smoke it in his garage. But he wasn't allowed to have any of it. And he was the fireman. That's all he could do, was watch the fire and tend the fire. But under instructions from his grandfather, leave the fish alone. It's reserved for our beloved elders. And that's all he had to say. And so my father, until he never got into his older years, is when he got to enjoy it. I'm only 48, so I've never had the chance or the luxury of
of experiencing this delicacy.
These big mega projects like this, even though we no longer utilize the material that we see growing there, the elders say that it's nice to see it. It's nice to smell it, and it's nice to see it growing there. And it provides some comfort to the wildlife, but it also provides them a comfort to be able to see that, you know, to observe it growing there and flourishing. You know, even though an elder will not eat a blackberry growing out on a clover leaf, an elder will not eat the camas that he or she may see growing off an off-ramp or an on-ramp, but they will nod their head and say, "That's nice to see. I'm happy that that's still there and that people care enough for it to be, to let it grow there without, you know, putting in a bunch of English ivy." And you know, there's actually a couple of other plants that we've seen in the past that are utilized in such a manner. But cattail, tule, in this area, even still today, there you can see remnants of some of the places where this cattail and tule still grow. And where you're going to find cattail and tule, you're also going to find wapato. But wapato are so water quality sensitive. You know, they're indicators nowadays. You know, if you don't see wapato, then there's probably something wrong, or something wrong with the water or substrate or both. But wapato is one of those plants that we just don't see enough of anymore, and is considered pretty rare